As it was in the days of Noah, likewise as it also was in the days of Lot. And these are Christ's words in Luke 17, 26 to 30. The days of Noah saw violence and evil all over the land, as we see is increasing here today. The days of Lot saw in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah exactly what we're witnessing today. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. As we see these signs of the times manifested, I've noticed that even people who are not Christians, who are not in the church, are noticing the same thing. Something's not right. Something's off. This is different. Some are even prophesying of the end times, the apocalypse. But sadly, many don't notice anything that's that unusual. In their minds, this is just the next cycle in the course of human history. We've had hard times before. We'll get through this too, as we always do. All will continue as it always has. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would please. Check 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 19. We are not as the other folks in the world. We have been given a very special gift. Peter tells us of this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Take heed to this special word of prophecy, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. That's the return of Jesus Christ. You know, it makes me wonder sometimes how the end times will play out. Some of you may have read a book that I read a while back called One Second After, talking about calamity of an electromagnetic pulse and what the damage of knocking out our entire electrical grid would do. I encourage you to read that. So as it was in the days of Noah, the flood, how did they act leading up to the flood? We know what happened after it started raining, but what happened leading up to it? How did they behave? As it was in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, how did they act? You don't really know how someone will respond to a crisis until they're in one. They may say they'll do this or that, but you really don't know until it happens, until it hits. And truthfully, neither do they. At Christ's arrest, the moment of crisis, the disciples all forsook him and fled, though they had pledged their very lives. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you, Peter said. And so said all the disciples. Matthew 26, 35. As they led Jesus away, Peter followed at a distance, and so did John. John was recognized as one of Christ's followers, but did not deny him. Peter, on the other hand, well, we know about the story of Peter denying him three times. How about us? Are we ready for the moment of crisis? Are we filled with false bravado like Peter? Or will we humbly accept our fate like John? Do we recognize the signs of the times, or do we deny that it could possibly be upon us? Asleep as the disciples at Gethsemane, or like the 10 virgins? Are we prepared to face down our Nebuchadnezzar in modern day times, in modern day Babylon, ready to boldly speak truth to power, ready to repeat the words that will be given to us by the Lord with the time? Ready spiritually to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Or have we become so lukewarm, so rich, and increased with goods that we have made our bellies our God? Comfortable. Will we stand strong and do exploits, acting valiantly, as it says in Daniel 11:32? Or will we deny the very Savior whose name we claim? Will we proclaim the message of the gospel of the kingdom to the very end, or live by lies, poor, blind, and naked in our wretchedness? Human nature for most people is to put off things as long as we can. We still have time, we say. We have time. We look about us and we see the prophetic events beginning to take shape. They're not all in place yet, but we're beginning to see the foundations being laid for end time events. After the last few years, we can now begin to see how buying and selling could be under the control of an authoritarian government through digital currency. We can see how those who don't comply or even whose thoughts are not harmonious with the powers that be could be cast out of society, canceled, banished, not allowed to participate in normal life. But we don't see the big milestones yet, the abomination of desolation, the two witnesses, the trumpet plagues. So we may think we have plenty of time to get ready, to get prepared for what's coming. Even in the days of Noah, leading up to the flood itself, the people scoffed and ignored his warnings. Right up to the time it started raining, laughing and calling Noah all kinds of names. Noah was probably a conspiracy theorist. Then it started to rain. At some point, it dawned on him that this is serious. We're in a crisis here. You can just imagine the puzzled look on their faces. At some point, as the water began to pile up, they started to worry a little. I don't know how long it took for the water to reach dangerous levels, but it only rained for 40 days and nights. At some point, the laughing stopped and turned to concern, and then concern turned to panic. And it didn't take long. It was suddenly in an instant. The title of the sermon today is Suddenly in an Instant. Hopefully by the time we're through today, I will have revealed enough warnings in the pages of your Bible that we will all be spurred into action to develop a sense of urgency about making our calling and election sure. We might think we have plenty of time to get prepared. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will. We see a piece of the puzzle falling into place here and one there and think, there's still a lot that has to happen. Until you stand back and look at the big picture and how all the pieces fit together, it's difficult to see how little is really left to do. Ever put a jigsaw puzzle together? It's slow going at first, but as the puzzle pieces start to fall into place, it goes faster and faster. And when you get to the final handful of pieces, it takes no time at all. All of a sudden, it's finished. Peter warned us there will be scoffers in the last days. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're reading verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And we know why. It's in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's given us an opportunity. He wants to make sure everyone has had their chance, that he's calling anyway. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I didn't see Paul take a single drink of water. I don't know how he did that. We can't let the doubts and scoffing of unbelievers to influence our thinking and cause us to doubt or to get caught up in their unbelief. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. He has an appointment in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead, speaking of Christ. When it's time, it's time. God's not going to wait around. Interestingly, Isaiah warned us that some people may not want to hear about it, though. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Don't prophesy rightly. Speak smooth things. The people who don't know the truth, who don't love the truth, they don't want to hear it. It's negative. It's scary. They want us to tell them everything will be all right. Don't be concerned about the things you see and hear in the news. It's all just politics and posturing. This too shall pass, and it will all go back the way it was. It always has, it always will. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Verse 8, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Hasn't that happened in this country? Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Isaiah is saying even some of the people of God didn't want to hear it. He is also telling them, no, it will not go back the way it was. It has reached the breaking point. At the time of the financial crisis in 2008, when the government stepped in and bailed out the companies that were too big to fail, the national debt was just $11 trillion. Just $11 trillion. It was 79% of the gross domestic product at the time. Now, we should take notice. Our national debt now is $34 trillion, three times the amount. Our debt to GDP ratio is 122%. For every dollar of gross domestic product, think income, that we generate as a nation, we spend $1.22. How long could we manage our household budgets if we continually spent 22% more money than we earned? The wall is swelling. The time of Jacob's trouble is upon us. What form the sudden breaking will take, we don't know. It may not be called a bankruptcy, but a reset. A great reset where the digital currency replaces physical currency, and likely not in a one-to-one ratio. It's not likely you're going to get dollar for dollar. More likely, we only get maybe 10 cents on the dollar. Every dollar we have in the bank will now become a dime and will instantly become dependent on the government for our daily survival. Now, God will protect us and provide for us, so don't panic. But what about those around us? We need to prepare ourselves now mentally and, more importantly, spiritually, for when this kind of thing does happen. I would encourage all of us to take heed and develop a sense of urgency in our preparation. Gird up the loins of our minds now while we have time. Prepare ourselves mentally to be able to cope with what's going to be happening all around us and become more mentally resilient. Maybe even play out various scenarios in our minds and pray about them ahead of time. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. The people of the world don't want us to speak about such things. But Ezekiel tells us these things must be spoken. We are not in the dark about such things as are the people of the world. We know what's coming. Ezekiel 33, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He was warned. He didn't do anything about it. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away the person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Are we not watchmen of sorts standing in the gap to warn people of the people of Israel and to preach of the coming kingdom of God? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Unfortunately, our words may likely fall on deaf ears, as did Jeremiah's before the fall of Judah. Jeremiah 6, and we'll start in verse 13. For from the least of these, least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. That's our instruction. Where is the good way? And walk in that, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What'd they say? We will not walk therein. Verse 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Similarly today, they are not ashamed. They don't blush. They're proud. Today, it's all about pride. They don't want to hear about God's ways. We have left our righteous God no choice. He cannot continue to allow this moral degradation and licentiousness to go on without retribution. Drop down to verse 22, Jeremiah 6. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people comes from the north country, and a great nation will be raised from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses as men of war, set in array against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Pain is of a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field, nor walk by the way, because the sword of the enemy, fear, is on every side. O daughter of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll about in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. For the plunderer will come suddenly upon us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're told in the media that we need not worry about all the illegal immigrants crossing our borders. They're just people seeking asylum from an oppressive government, seeking a better way of life for their families, aren't they? Never mind that a large percentage are single military-aged men from all over the world, not just Latin America, but many from countries that hate us. Currently, 10,000 to 12,000 a day are crossing our southern border illegally. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 26. Verse 26, he will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed swiftly. Are we seeing the theme here? Speed, quickly, suddenly. Verse 29, their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions. Yes, they will roar and lay hold of the prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. In that day, they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened by the clouds. Anyone else hear a whistling sound coming from the southern border? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. America is the last bastion of freedom in the world. America is the last stronghold against the Eurocentric one world government. It must fall, and sadly, God will allow it. The powers that be, led by Satan, believe if they can create enough chaos on the scene, then they will be the ones to bring about the solution to bring order again. Ordo ab cal. That's their motto, ordo ab cal. That's Latin for order from chaos. They will create the chaos so that they can bring about their order. In their mind, there can be no sovereign nations. There can be no national borders. That must be destroyed in order to build back better in the authoritarian model. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 we know is one of the blessing and cursings chapter. We've lived the blessings, brethren. We're about to find out about the cursing. Deuteronomy 28, verse 20. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Drop down to verse 33. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. Drop down to 43. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. And we're letting them in by the thousands. Go to Hosea, one of the minor prophets, Hosea chapter 5. Just as ancient Israel and Judah were warned, yet did not repent, history will repeat itself in modern day Israel and Judah. Hosea chapter 5, we'll start in the very first verse. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you. Verse 2, and the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. Talking about those who have revolted against God. Verse 3, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord, turning to other gods, foreign gods, not looking to the God of Israel. Verse 5, and the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Now we've interpreted this over the years to mean that the nations of Britain and America and the nation state of Israel or Judah will collapse within a month's time. Now that could mean a literal 30-day period, or on a day for a year, it could mean over a 30-year period. Not setting any dates, but speculating, when did our wake-up call come on September 11th, 2001? How long ago was that? Go to Isaiah chapter 47, if you would, please. That was Isaiah chapter 47. The one world government system will get what's coming to them as well. The modern day Babylonian system will fall quickly, as prophesied in these verses. Isaiah 47, verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that saith in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment and one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Did you know that witchcraft is one of the fastest growing, quote unquote, religions in this country today? Multitude of thy sorceries and enchantments. Verse 10, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore, therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it ariseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Desolation will come suddenly out of nowhere. Zephaniah, another minor prophet, Zephaniah chapter 1. I'll give you a chance to find that. It'll take a second. Although we did just have a Bible study recently on that. Hopefully you're familiar. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. This is what's going to be going on all around us, folks. Verse 17, and I will bring distress upon them, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all of them that dwell in the land. We have understood the day of the Lord to be a year-long period of death and destruction, which actually is quite quick in the scheme of things, but it'll seem like an eternity at the time. Revelation 18. Revelation 18, we'll look at verse 5. Revelation 18, verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we just read that in Isaiah? Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, and when they shall see the burning, the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour thy judgment come. God is just, and he is right. He will judge unrighteousness. He will punish the wicked, and he will bring retribution. That is good news for the righteous and the godly, those God has called in our day and age. Turn to Psalm chapter 90, verse 96. Psalm 96. There is good news, brethren. Psalm 96, verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth and shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. About some New Testament, Mark chapter 13. We know that we don't know, we slice to know what we don't know, the day or the hour. But we can see that it's at the door. Mark 13, verse 29. So in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, all the things that we just heard that were spoken of that will happen, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Drop down to verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. It says he will come suddenly, just like it says in Malachi 3:1, where it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. He's coming suddenly and quickly. We must be ready now. We're told in many places to watch. We should watch world events unfold in light of Bible prophecy, but most importantly, we're to watch our spiritual condition. Are we ready? Like anything we do of value, it takes longer than you think. You're saving for that house? It takes longer than you think. You're seeking the right spouse, the right person to marry? It takes longer than you think. I like to say it takes longer than it takes, because we all make plans, and no matter what, it always seems to take a little bit longer. How long does it take an individual believer to build faith in God and trust Him completely? How long does it take just to trust Him a little more? When Christ returns, will He find faith on earth? Faith on earth? I would dare say that there are a number of people in here, myself included, who are still trying to learn how to trust God even more. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? That's Luke 18, 7 and 8. Keep in mind, half of the virgins were left outside the door knocking. We don't want to be one of those. We must have a sense of urgency. Develop a sense of urgency now or panic later. Develop a sense of urgency now or panic later. It's a choice each of us has to make. Turn to Luke 21, please. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 with verse 34. We'll read down through 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. So will you be distracted or detached? Come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate. Detach. If you think we're distracted now, just wait. When it all comes unraveled, when the enemy is at the gates, it will be very difficult to concentrate on anything else. If you're not reading your Bible every day now, why not? What could be more important? If you're not praying every day now, why not? What could be more important? It won't get any easier when it all comes crashing down. Verse 35, for as a snare, it shall come on them that dwell on the face of the earth. Does the little rabbit that gets caught in a snare see it coming? Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We who are God's people will likely be protected, but just as a rising tide raises all ships, a sinking tide can run them aground. The world around us will be in a state of chaos. We will have to endure the hardness of the times. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. We're instructed. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. There is indeed good news for the people of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should come on you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation, the whole armor of God. For God has not appointed unto us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Just a couple more verses here. Shaken, but not stirred. Hebrews chapter 12. God will shake the whole earth. God will shake the whole earth and the heavens so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, like our Father in heaven is perfect. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made. Those things that are made will be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain, the spiritual. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. One more verse coming up. Hebrews chapter 3. Though we are hard pressed on every side, we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Though we be shaken, we shall not be stirred. After having done all we can, stand. Stand, therefore, in the whole armor of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Let's go forth with a sense of urgency as we prepare for what lies ahead, knowing there remaineth, therefore, a rest for the people of God. May God fortify his people so that we may stand in the moment of crisis.